Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
It's so good to be with you once again, wherever you are, and I hope you pray for this program. I pray about this, and I take this seriously. And, you know, sometimes we talk negatively, of course we do, about certain institutions and so on. But I personally am against talking against preachers and institutions and so on, and I'd never do it except for one thing. When they start attacking God's Word, I'm going to answer them, and I'm going to say something about who they are, and I don't even mention sometimes the names of the people that are doing it, but it is so grievous, it is so terrible to do that. And some folks, you may be listening, say, well, why you make such an issue about the words? Because if you ever read the Bible, you would find out that God makes a huge issue about the words. And it's his credibility that's at stake. He says he doesn't lie. And so we're going to be talking about that. And I say this because this institution has had a good reputation in the past, but they're attacking God's Word, and I'll tell you why. But we're going to be talking about it again today. The program is called Where is God's Word? And some of these institutions, they ought to be called, or even churches, they ought to be called the Bible Institute of Where is God's Word, because they don't know where it is, and yet they don't like it if we say we have God's Word today. And I must remind you, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, W-O-R-D-S, shall not pass away. And this is mentioned in three different Gospels. That is quoted. So it's very, very important with God. And God teaches the preservation of the words. And these words are pure words. And this is taught, and yet most seminaries, they don't teach that. And their whole thinking is humanistic, and in reality, they have become deists, and that is, God gave the Word. Oh, we believe in the perfect Word that was the originals. Well, God never, there's no such teaching in the Scripture. Of course, the originals were perfect, but God always appeals to what we have. And the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's in our heart. It's not hidden in a crocodile's belly in Egypt or in a cave somewhere, Mount Sinai or some other place, you know, but it's something we have in our heart. And the Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. And we are to preach the word of God. We're not to preach Nestle's Greek text or some other baloney, you know, but we're to preach the word of God. I talked to a preacher just this week, and he says, well, we shouldn't be arguing about translations. See, it's a lot higher and more important than translations. It's where is God's Word? Do we have the Word of God? Not just a translation, but literally, do we have the Word of God? And God says that we have it. The Bible says, Jesus says, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words thou hast given to me. And so he has given to the world the words that God has given to him. And so that's why this subject is so incredibly important. Now, you know, recently I heard a preacher preaching, and he was talking about this constitutional amendment. It goes like this. Now, here's a very well-known, famous preacher, and I'm sure that he was very sincere, and he preached a great message. But he changed one of the words in the Constitution, and the liberals changed this word, and they have built a whole doctrine, false doctrine, on changing one word in the Constitution. The way it's read today is, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. You know, I was talking before the Ohio Senate or something, and so we had written this thing down, and we were looking at it. The Constitution does not say that. The Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And by changing it to thee, they've changed the total meaning and said that government shouldn't totally stay out of the church in every way. Well, that's not true. It says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That means Congress shall make no law respecting a church. A church is an establishment of religion. Now, what these versions have done is they've changed the scriptures in thousands of words. Oh, the message is there, but the words are very, very significant and important. And the words, the Bible says, of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Thou hast, and says, thou wilt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation. And so the words are important. And God says, I've honored my words above all my name. You know, the words are important. That's why we have this program. And God makes an issue about it. That's why we make an issue. And as I'm listening to this, and I mentioned this many times, that I'd never mention this otherwise, but Moody, these scribes, the Bible says, beware of scribes. Jesus said, beware of scribes. They're the educators. And Moody Bible Institute, they keep attacking the scripture. And so when I hear they attack it, why, I answer back. And I'm going to talk about that today, something that has just been said on that station, and we'll be talking about that. But before I start, I'm going to ask Brother Al to read the scripture dealing with this subject.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, I want to remind people that they can follow Bruce online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. You can listen to some past programs there, and a number of materials that Bruce references from time to time are all available there at whereisgodsword.com. And we're reading today in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, and we'll start here in verse number 18. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book."
Okay, thank you. Now here's the very last words of Jesus about taking out words from the scripture. And of course, thousands of words are taken out, whole phrases are taken out, and not only that, are they changed. Now, God, Adam and Eve, they walk with God, and they got the originals, and they heard the originals, and they knew what the originals were. And these people are always talking about the originals when they attack the King James. Well, I believe in originals. I heard one preacher, 4 years of Greek, he says, well, I go by the original. I says, well, what text are you using? Well, that was the end of conversation. He didn't even know, and there's as many Greek texts as Carter had little liver pills. I mean, it's just, not only that, you know why there's Unitarians are putting the definitions of the words. I mean, so that's an important thing. But this guy on Moody was, again, he was, and you know, what they're doing today is exactly what Moody talked against. One of his phrases were for Christian unity, lead the Bible as it is. And then he talked about people taken out from the Word of God, and he says it's causing many young people to go into infidelity and so on and quit reading the scripture, which it does, this nonsense. And when they get, they'll get a new version after a while, they quit reading that. And by the, so anyway, this guy was saying, and I didn't hear it. I don't hear it a lot of times, but he was telling the people, he says, well, get any translation that's easy for you to read. And And then he says, well, his wife likes the New American Standard Version, see? Now, you just wonder, I think to myself, but there's a number of evangelical leaders who will talk something like that or recommend versions like New ASV or NIV or something else, and I think, what in the world is wrong with them? How could they do it? There's thousands of changes from the King James Bible, and there's thousands of changes between the different versions. I was talking about a book recently, and I think every Christian ought to have it since it's such an issue today. Which Bible Would Jesus Use? By McElroy. And you ought to look that up and get it and read that thing through a number of times. And it shows leading evangelical leaders, and they'll recommend some translation, and about 5 or 10 years later, they'll recommend another one. Then he shows how they disagree with each other. And it's right there in the book over and over. And he goes around many of these evangelical leaders. And I think then I was watching last night MacArthur, and he was criticizing somebody else. Let's see who he was criticizing, somebody, and going into great length criticizing this other very famous preacher. But I thought, well, he's criticizing him. He's one of the worst offenders of all, because he recommends different versions that disagree with each other in 1,000 places. Now, let me ask you something. If Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," can you understand that? The King James said, "Thy word is truth." Do you have a problem with that word, understanding "Thy word is true"? When you have two, when you have versions that disagree, and he's going and showing these evangelical leaders recommending version one, he says it's very faithful to the originals, and it's a word-for-word translation. And then he shows them saying something like that about 10 years later with another version, and that disagrees with each other. I think, are they out of their mind? Are they crazy? And then this guy was saying, and you know, interestingly enough, almost everything else, except when it comes to the Bible, I would agree with him on. And yet, when it comes to the Bible, then he says, well, his wife, she likes the New ASV. The New ASV, did they ever sit down and compare these words? I mean, really compare them, the key verses on them. That's an abomination. You might as well go out and buy a JW New World Translation, you know, and it comes from the same basic thing. Do you know that practically all these new versions, NIV, New ASV, come right from a Bible that the Pope gave the world? That's not a debatable subject. Would you say that's debatable, Brother Al?
Well, if you ignore all the established fact and the written records and documentation, I guess then you have something you could debate. But you'd have to ignore everything like that.
That's not a debatable subject. I mean, who's going to say it doesn't happen, you know? It's based on photographs he gave the world of one of Constantine's Bibles, which was corrupt, and Constantine and that whole crowd made it corrupt because that was the idea, you know? And that's what these versions are based on. Now, you know, they act like, you know what, they act just like a bunch of JWs. You know, you could show them verse after verse where it says Jesus is God. I was talking to JW person, and I said to her, look, 1 John 5:20, we know the Son of God hath come and has given us an understanding. We might know him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God. She slithered out of it, you know. I thought, how do you slide out of that? But that's what these people do. And then with JWs, recently I asked one nice lady, I asked her, invite her to come to church where I was going, and no, she can't do that, you know. And they give you literature, but they won't take it. Now the other side, they just somebody, I gave them a book one time, somebody apparently, and they read a few pages and they knew which way it was going, so they gave me the book back, you know. I mean, they just will not read anything contrary to what they taught. And they're in a little bubble with all their friends that believe the same way. And, you know, I ought to have a program on how they were subverted when they were 19 years old. And behind their subversion, when they were being taught a bunch of lies, you know, the first thing they teach them, they show them a King James Bible and then a Greek text. And the Greek text has a translation, but it does agree with the King James. So they're supposed to believe then that Greek text, the King James, is wrong because it doesn't go with the Greek text. But they didn't bother to tell them that it was another Greek text. little oversight, isn't it? You know. And then if they're still not convinced, then they show them a lexicon. That's a Greek-English dictionary. And they don't bother to tell them who put it out. It was put out by Unitarians, you know. Or somebody that was hyper-liberal, you know, that was a Unitarian that didn't even believe that Jesus Christ was God. And so by that time, if they're not convinced, You know, and then they say, yeah, those people back at the church, they think the King James was inspired, you know, with their, and so then, you know, the devil says, then they say the scholars say, that just finishes them off, you know. They don't say, by the way, what scholars say, you know, they don't tell them, well, it's the Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini that puts out the, you know, on the United Bible Society. Don't bother that to tell them that, you know. Who these scholars are. See, by this time, they're subverted, and they're subtly putting into their mind how smart they are, you know, about the poor people that don't know the Greek. And I'm telling you, this is the fact, and I had a guy in my class, he was talking, well, I got a PhD. I have studied, you know. And I asked somebody else, and I says, well, 1 John 5:7, he says, that shouldn't be in there. I says, well, if it's in the King James, it should be in there. This guy is so freaked out, he's jumping up and down, and he was a preacher, too. He's so, well, you know, 1 John 5:7, by the way, was used as a proof text at the Council of Carthage in 250. And we give these proof texts, by the way, and we give the church fathers that went along with, you know, the King James Bible. 99% of the ancient manuscripts go along with it. Now, another thing that you should know, by the way, is the Roman Church is behind this. Man, if it's the Vatican Bible, it's the basis of this. And who can deny it? The Roman Church is behind it. They call it the King James, the Protestant Pope. And so they have been out and out, the Jesuits, to destroy it ever since. And all this Bible babel. And, you know, if we not only have it in English, all this trouble, they have it in Spanish, too. They have it, the Reina Valera, in Spanish, but they have all kinds of translations there, and a number of them disagree with each other, and then they doctored up Martin Luther's Heilige Schrift, too. They mess with that, too. So, you know, the Roman Church is behind this Babel. Now, I thought to myself, now, how can these professors at Moody and some of these evangelical leaders go along with this? You know, a guy wrote a book, he says in his book, he says, things that are different are not the same. I mean, you know, do you believe that things that are different are the same? That's what they call an oxymoron. Well, that's what these people believe. You can't even admit that. And then they say, well, they say you can't understand it. And I was looking at a New King James, you know, and see, they have to use that title, King James. They got all kinds of King James now, see. Why? So you buy it, you know, and in there it has some kind of toga or something and the King James says coat, and it says Hades, and the King James says hell. And you got all these important verses like this, and the King James, you could understand them, but you can't even understand a lot of these new ones. I mean, they have words you can understand, see, in it. And I was thinking to myself, how in the world can these people go and say what they say and do what they do? I mean, when they're supposed to know the Bible, supposed to be saved. I think of a scripture verse in the Old Testament that says, I've redeemed them. That is, he saved them, but they lied about me. And so God has saved these people, but they lied about him, you know? And then I thought of this. Adam and Eve walk with God, and they were given the originals. And Satan comes along. And he says, yea, hath God said. So the main thing behind all this chaos and corruption is the devil. And somebody that's involved in it is doing the devil's work. So he says to Eve, and that's the first thing out of his mouth. They have a law called the law of the first mention, where you mention, and that's where it's mentioned in the Bible, so it tells what it's going to be. So the law of the first mention, the devil opens his mouth and says, yea, hath God says. And then Eve, she answers his back, and she revises the scripture that God gave her and Adam. And God says, of every tree of the garden, of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you not may not eat thereof, for the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So what'd she do? She revises the scripture, and man, it's amazing. I've heard this text preached on, but they don't ever preach on that verse. Somehow they just skip that verse. And God says, you may freely, even what she do in a revision takes out freely. And there's a place dealing with salvation in Romans in the modern versions that takes out the word freely. Salvation is a free gift. Go to Jesus for it, and you have it as a free gift. And he says, I'll never cast you out. He died on the cross, paid for all your sins. He says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it's a free gift. So she does that. Then she says, God says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil shall not eat thereof, neither shall ye touch it. So what she do? She adds to the word of God. God didn't say, neither shall ye touch it. So she adds to it. And then she says, God says, you shall surely die. And she says, lest you die. So she changes the meaning. That's exactly what takes place today. It's going on today all the time. Every one of these versions are being changed in thousands of places. And you could start out by reading New Age Bible versions and see she goes through 2,500 changes that are made and shows the implications of the changes. It's not a matter of who she is. She's a godly lady, but I mean, it's a matter of the facts. I mean, compare the facts. Check them out for yourself. The facts are there. Which Bible would Jesus use? And there's many other good ones. There's hundreds of thousands, millions of them out there today. But these people are in a bubble, and they hate it if you say that you have the Word of God today. But the King James is based on 99% of the words. Now the New American Standard Version. You know, it makes Jesus out to be a liar in one place. Because he says, I go not up to Jerusalem, then he goes, and they take out, go not out, ups, and so he goes. So it makes him out to be a liar. God says, if you are angry with your brother without a cause, you're in danger of judgment, so then you'd be a sinner. So they take out without a cause, making Jesus a sinner. Jesus is called, the new ASV, his father is called Joseph, where he corrects Mary in the same chapter for calling Joseph his father, because Mary says, your father and I have sought you sorrowfully, and Jesus says, I must be about my father's business. So it calls Joseph his father, and yet you have evangelical leaders doing that. Well, Adam and Eve did it. Now, you know, in the Bible, there's a prophet was sent by God into one of the countries of Israel, and God says, when you get there, after you give your prophecy, come immediately back. And so there's an old prophet that met him and said, well, stay with me for a short time. So instead of doing what God says, and that old prophet told him, he says, God told me to tell you this. So instead of doing what God told him to do, he stayed with that prophet. And then he started home, and a lion got him and ripped him up. And you know, the illustration and the point of that is that God does not want you to change the word of God. When the devil attacked us, what did Jesus do? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that's taken out of many modern versions, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. They take that out. And I could go on and on and on of all the changes that have been made. But we are not to change it. The pastor at Moody Bible Institute, he was on the committee for the new ASV, and his friend told him, he says, look at all the changes that have been made. And when he saw the changes, he went to Lockman, who was in charge of the company that put it out. He says, I'm afraid we're in big trouble with God. And they were. And Lockman says, well, I'm going on my honeymoon. When I come back, he says, we'll talk about it. Well, he didn't come back. He came back in a box. God killed him on the way back. You know, this is serious. When Uzzah touched the ark that had the word of God in it, he was struck down dead. And God doesn't do it today, but he still thinks the same thing. God has given us for his word. How do you know? He says, I've honored my word above all my name. The word, King James Bible has been honored more than all Bibles ever written. And Christians still read it more than all the rest of the translations. The rest of them come and go. The word of God liveth and abideth forever, and we have it today, perfect and complete, and it gives us the message of salvation. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in him. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.